In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The world is coming to an end. That is not surprising, since our Lord has told us beforehand. But the way it is coming to an end is, and can be, quite distressing. Chaos, turmoil, surging seas, falling stars, dramatic weather swings. Creation has become unstable as it reverts back to chaos. The Creator is withdrawing his benevolence. In the beginning, God ordered the disorder. Now at the end, he allows the disorder to reign. We can't exclusively blame cows, carbon footprints, or cities. God rules the heavens and the earth, and he does as he pleases. And his goodwill toward his creation is increasingly turning toward anger, as his patience runs out with man, corrupt and perverse man. The unraveling of the heavens will only get worse. The surging seas will only intensify. The fear and foreboding among men will only increase. For 2,000 years, God has clearly announced his gospel to all creation. And for 2,000 years, many have rejected. God is love. He is patient. But his patience will not last forever. He is love, but he is also just. And the chaotic creation reveals his imminent justice. The unbelievers are right about one thing, however, that life as we know it on earth will change drastically. To them, everything has become a crisis. And yet, even their hyperbolic language is too mild. They're thinking about changing seasons, changing weather patterns, maybe new coastlines, new way of moving about this world or having to grow food. And so they move quickly, thinking by a quick fix, they can make this world a better place, more hospitable for us and for successive generations. They fail to understand that the Son of Man is returning. And then all things will upend. And so the rug will literally be pulled out from underneath their feet as this massive planet we call Earth is destroyed with heavenly fire, and they fall headlong into the abyss. So they should be afraid, for soon they will see the Son of Man. They should be filled with fear about everything that is changing, because God will judge them. Watch yourselves, lest you fall into the same fear and the same worry that the world possesses. The day is quickly approaching, but for you who fear the name of the Lord, that day is not a day of destruction, but a day of your redemption. So the chaos in creation are groans of creation, groans for your redemption. Creation calls out to you, stay awake at all times and cast aside whatever sin you may find, for the Lord is near. Creation longs for your redemption. Because on that day, creation itself will be set free from its corruption and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God, even as St. Paul writes. Change and upheaval, then, are cries. Repent. Weather patterns, both common and new, cry out to you, repent. Earthquakes, floods, droughts, famines, and all other natural disasters cry out, repent, for your redemption is near. With so much change in our lifetime, if we think back to how the world was when we were children, with so much uncertainty, even on a day-to-day basis, it's tempting to bury our heads in the sand, to cut the edge with alcohol, drugs, to cut the edge with virtual reality, get ourselves lost in TV or a good book, so we don't have to deal with the reality that is this fallen, chaotic world. So there's little wonder why depression is on the rise in these times, especially among young people. They have no anchor. They have no foundation. Everything they have been told is constantly changing, and they're told that it still will continue to change. Add to that the screens, which constantly flash new and supposedly better things before their eyes. Nothing is static, nothing is stable, nothing is certain. But you have an anchor. You have an unchanging, unmoved anchor. For though the heavens will unravel and the earth itself will dissolve, the word of the Lord will endure forever. That word, "it is finished," stands tall as the heavens fail and the seas surge. "It is finished" stands firm as men faint with fear and foreboding, terrified of what is happening to the earth. The pierced hands of your loving Savior sends this chaos out of love to wake you up, to get your attention, so you stay awake and watchful. For he is not coming for destruction, but he is coming for your redemption. How he longs to gather you together and to welcome you into his heaven, where you might live in peace and joy and rest forevermore. So "it is finished" is sprinkled over you in holy baptism to cleanse you from your sins. The cataclysmic event that is holy baptism ripped open heaven itself, and through water the Holy Spirit descended on you, and the Father declared you his beloved Son, an heir of heaven. Can a few weather patterns change that? Can the fear and worry and distress of men alter your baptism? Nothing can change it. With all the ups and downs of your week or of a day or even of your entire life, with all that you have been through year after year, you have entered into God's holy house, whether this house or another, and have heard those words, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." God is still your God, and you are still his child. Yes, weak, sinful, perhaps even worried and helpless, but you are still his baptized child. You've come with heavy burdens and tears streaming down your face. You've come embarrassed by your sins at times. You've come when our government codifies immorality. You've come during pandemics and riots and wars and at times of peace. You've come when healthy and when ill. You've come with family and all alone. You've come carried in your parents' arms and come carrying your children in your arms. Life is constantly changing, but the word remains the same. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the world flashes new and supposedly better things before your eyes on those screens. Constantly changing, constantly moving, encouraging you to forget what you last saw. And sadly, many churches have followed suit, unwittingly giving the impression that the word itself is momentary and fleeting. No substance, nothing static, nothing sure. And yet here the pulpit stands firm. Here the Holy Supper stands tall and quietly calls to you, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No striving, but rest in his forgiveness. No worry, but rest in his providence. No fear, but rest underneath his watchful gaze. And worry melts, and fears dissolve, and wanting to escape reality is replaced with prayer. Prayer because we are weak, and he alone is strong. So take that word upon your lips and pray, for that word is your anchor, your constant. Repeat back to him the promises that he has made to you. Begin your prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, for this God has not changed and he will not change. Pray because you see the seas roaring and the winds whipping, and you know that you deserve his eternal wrath and punishment. Pray because the time is short and there is but one Savior who has redeemed you with his blood, and has washed you in his waters so that you might be pure and spotless, a child of the Father. Pray because you are weak, and without God's help, you would certainly fall into temptation, worry, and fear. Pray because the Lord promises to hear you. For the sake of Christ, he will hear you and he will answer you. Yes, we pray individually at home, but first and foremost, we are always praying as the body of Christ, as believers who are united to others. So we never say, "My Father." We always pray, "Our Father." We are always praying for the Church of God. And so we have gathered together as one to pray to our dear Father yet again. We see the last day is quickly approaching. We recognize the signs that are out there in nature. So we gather together to pray to our dear Father for strength to endure whatever chaos may come, whatever fear and foreboding the world may hold. He will help us. Through his eternal Son, he will help us. And Christ will continue to be our Savior. As the world crumbles and society cannibalizes, the word of the Lord stands firm. The seas will not destroy it. The weather will not bury it. Man's fear will never hide it. The word stands firm. So also his supper stands firm as a quiet, imposing fortress, beckoning you to come and find rest. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.